Okay. So today's topic, we'll speak about the Issa of Stam Yayin, which is very matzoi. It's common, the shaylas of Stam Yayin. And it's very negev because in most Jewish homes you have Yayin. Yayin for different mitzvahs, for Kiddush, Shabbos, Yontif, Yayin, Simchas Yontif. So there's Yayin around, and then there's Goyim around, and it could have certain Surim. Yayin Nesach is from Lashem Nisuch. Yayin Nesach is wine that was poured in front of an Avodah Zarah. Stam Yayin is Yayin which is owned by a guy, or the guy came in contact with the Yayin. Now, not every contact of the guy with the Yayin makes it awesome. So we have over here like this, Yayin Nesach, which means Yayin that was poured in front of Avodah Zarah, that's Asur B'Hana, and that's learned from Pesukim. It's different than the other Machalei Asuris that we've mentioned yesterday, like Pasakom, Bishal Akom, or Cholav Akom. Over there there's Issa Achila, but there's no Issa Hana. Yayin Nesach has an Issa Hana. It's learned from Pesukim in Masechet Avodah Zarah and Masechet Shabbos that it's Asur B'Hana. Stam Yayin, which means, again, Stam Yayin means Yayin that was owned by a guy or came in contact with a guy. So there is the Isser Hana, Taisvis, the Shabbos, the Zainon base, the Raran, the Rif, and the Zartesan base, speaks about that there is the Isser Hana. Now, the ownership of the guy, just because the guy owns it, is not a problem. It's only when it was touched by the guy. And what's called touched by the guy, so maybe we'll get that a little later on, where the guy actually touched the wine, or he poured from the bottle of the wine. Just picking the bottle up and moving it over, you have a cleaning lady in the house, and she took the bottle that was on the counter, and she moved it over to the side, or she put it from the shelf in the fridge onto the counter into the fridge. That's not going to make it Stam Yayin. It's only if she actually touched the wine or she poured from the bottle of wine that then would be a question of Stam Yayin. So again, so there could be Issa. However, nowadays, many goyim are not Oivdei Avodah Zarah. You have Christians, which the question if it's considered, well, let's assume that they're not considered Oivdei Avodah Zarah. You have, in general, most Goyim or all Goyim don't even know what Avodah Zarah really is. Like the Rambam in Pirush Mishnah Yisachun says that there's no real Avodah Zarah around nowadays. So therefore, according to many Shittas, it's also to drink, and it's Mutabana, the Torah in Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel brings down that nowadays, since Goyim are not Oivdei Avodah Zarah, or at least those religious Goyim who are not Oivdei Avodah Zarah, it's also to drink it, but be Mutar B'Hana. The Taz wants to say that it's still Asur B'Hana, and the Nafkamina is a big Nafkamina. Let's say I have a wine store, I want to sell wine which is Stam Yayin. I want to sell wine which was made by a guy. I want to sell it in my store. I'll sell it to non-Jews that come in to buy wine. So, of course, I can't drink it. It's Asur to drink. But is it Asur B'Hana or not? So, according to the Torah and according to many Paiskim that we, B'Halacha, the Mechaber is Machmer, but the Ramah, we follow the Ramah. The Dharma says, "Lechatchilu not, but mamakim have sin will be mutter." And Chokzadim Yisrael Shabbal Nefesh Yachmer. But we'll see that there's an ongoing machlekes straight through Mechaber Ramah, and the Ramah constantly says, "Nowadays, since they're not with the Avodah Zarah, there's room to be mekel, and it'll just be Asur B'Shtiyah, and won't be Asur B'Hana." And that's the general assumption that by Stam Yayin, will be also to drink, but it may be mutzabahana in many cases. Now, you have also discussion about a mummer. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Chaf Dalet of Ches talks about a machal Shabbos. However, this is negay. This child comes up many times. You have wine on the table, and you're having over guests which are not from, which are machal Shabbos, machal Shabbos of Fahesia, and you want to serve wine. You're making kiddush. And the non-frum person takes the bottle, and pours from the bottle, or touches the wine, or something like that. What do you do? Someone comes running over Friday night, and will the knock on the door. What do I do with the wine? Well, so there are many tshuvas from different great people: the Chasam Sefer, the Achiezer, Igros Moshe, Ben Yitzid, and many others that say that nowadays. Just because someone's mechal Shabbos v'farhesia doesn't make him into a mumah. Meaning, it's important nekuda to realize that when we see in Gemara and in earlier Pesachim that mechal Shabbos v'farhesia, he's a mumah and he has dinim like a goy for certain dinim. That's because back in the days to be mechal Shabbos and to be mechal Shabbos v'farhesia meant that you were really anti-religious. You were anti-Judaism. You were out to rebel and go against Yiddishkeit. However, these tshuvas are writing that, unfortunately, Rav Moshe actually wrote tshuva, interestingly, in the east side, there was a minyan, Shabbos morning, at 7 o'clock. There was a shachris, 7 o'clock shachris on the east side. And I heard Arayim, that minyan still exists, not with the same people, but the minyan was started by a group of people that would go to work. They, because of the parnasa issue, the nesayin of parnasa was so great that one would lose their job if they didn't work on Shabbos. So they would go to work on Shabbos, but before they went to work on Shabbos, they wanted to daven. So they would get up 7 o'clock, daven, go home, have a quick suda, and then go to work. So says Rav Moshe, this guy believes in Hashem. Can't say he doesn't believe in Hashem because he's davening to Hashem. And you see it also, you see, unfortunately, you see it a lot between among different teenagers at risk that they'll come to davening. When they're in trouble, they'll say a kapitel tzom, they'll pray to Hashem. But at the same time, you know, Shabbos, unfortunately, is not as chomer to them and they'll be over certain isurim. So therefore, just because this person sitting at my table is a Mechal Shabbos and Mechal Shabbos Fahesh, it doesn't make him into a mumma, which will give him a din as a god. So this will save a lot of times those issues of if I have one that could become Stam Yayin and I have this friend or relative at the table. So again, Chatchila maybe Bechashva the Paiskin that hold that it could become Stam Yayin, but you don't have to make anyone crazy for it because Tashtis, unless he's so against Yiddishkeit, but then he wouldn't be at your table. So I think the fact that he joined you for the Friday night Suda shows already that he's not anti. He's just it's more convenient not keeping Shabbos. Yeah. By Momalachas. I didn't say there's no problem being a mum, but that's not the problem over here. Right. Okay. So that is just a little background. Now, the chaimer of the Isser that we're about to discuss, the chaimer of the Isser is, it's a very chumradik Isser. The Chokhmas Adam and Kla Ayin Hey Ois Aleph, he begins off, he says, Ve'issa Zesha Stam Yenam, Afa Pishu Kal Be'ine Ha'oilam, even though it's Kal, it's light in the eyes of people, Ve'dimu L'sha Issa Drabaran, they're just Medamit to other Issa Drabaran, Abe'emes Ha'issa Chomer Ma'id, Ve'asha Issa Stam Yenam, Oiker Nishmasa Mimakam Shinishrash Boy Be'kdusha, Ve'yayna Mishuma Ba'anovav, and that's Indian, that's brought down Chazal, whatever that means, but you're being oikir neshama from that mokim where it's rooted with Kedusha, ואין לחג לעולם הבא. והעריכו מאוד בין שזה המקובלים, נסחב על זה ספר מיוחד נקרא יין המשומה, והקורבן, the one that reasons, his hair will fall out. וכוסו שקבלו ביודם שהשויסס נמגנים יחושו בוודי לוב על הרמס, כמו שגוזו חום ינום משם בנסייה, very common, the Rivosh has decided to say that the Isser of Stam Yenom, even for a Chodesh She'im B'Sakana, where sometimes we make all this through the Rabbanon, we're not going to be make all. And then he goes and says, maybe even a Chodesh She'ish B'Sakana, we might not be make all. But it's a Chomedik Isser. It's Chomedik Isser. Now, the grapes alone, let's start with the grapes. While the grapes are whole, and there's no liquid seeping out of the grapes, so they weren't crushed at all, then there's definitely no problem with a guy owning it, a guy touching it, a guy handling it, and that's not a problem. Therefore, a non-Jew can have a guy working for you to carry the grapes and to transport the grapes from the vineyard to the winery where they're going to press the grapes. That's not a problem. And even more than that, even once the grapes were crushed, even though this liquid already, but it's only once the juice is drawn forth, like the Lashon in the Shulchan Aruch is there was nimshach, there was hamshacha, was drawn already, was drawn forth and separated from the solid grape parts, then that liquid is already considered wine, and that's part of the gezerah that we're about to discuss. I mean, when the wine is drawn from a, you can have a vat of wine, something for tasting. They have a vat of wine for tasting. So over there, problems could arise, even though it's not complete yet, but it's already, it was drawn from the grapes, even though it wasn't finished off being made, but over there it could be started. So it's only once the juice is already drawn forth and separated from the solid grape parts, then it's liquid. The liquid is considered wine as part of this Gezeira. Now, in the winemaking, there are a few different steps. Now, before I start the steps of the winemaking, there's also Yayim Mevushal. Yayim Mevushal, what's Yayim Mevushal? Yayim which was cooked. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that Shmuel had a friend, Avli. It comes up a few times in Masechet Brachos, I think, comes up in the ninth parak. Shmuel and Avli, they studied the stars. And Avodah Zarah comes up a few times. And Shmuel had a Goyish friend named Avlit. And they were sitting together. And someone brought in front of them wine which was Mevushal. So Shmuel stretched out his hand to take the wine. So Avlit said to him, "One second, how can you drink this wine?" So Shmuel said, "Hari amru yayim Mevushal ein bayim shum yayin nesach." There's no issa on yayim mevushal. Why? Because cooked wine, cooking decreases its quality. It takes down its quality. But what's considered cooking? What's considered cooking? So cooking normally is, you put a pot of food or wine on a fire, and it starts to boil, right? It's boiling on the fire. So that's for sure. If something comes to a boil, if you boil up wine, that's called Yayim Mevushal. And on that, there's no issur. Because we're not worried that a goy will have machshav, or a goy will use it to pour for the Avodah Zarah, because this is a cheapened wine. The wine is cheapened. So you're not going to use it for Avodah Zarah. However, what's considered hertiach? The Lashon is hertiach agabi ha'esh. What's called rotach? That was boiled on the fire. What is it considered? So the Shach says a lashon, she smayed mimi dasach. That it was when you boil up liquid, it evaporates, right? The steam and the liquid evaporates. You put up a pot of soup, you're not left with the same amount of water, right? You have a full pot, it goes down a little. And you put in more water. So it should continue to cook and you'll have enough soup, but it evaporates while it's on the fire. So the Shach says she is smayimi midasi. It went down from the measurement, the amount that there was. You have that much less now, which is mashma, that the decreasing of the of the qualities, because it already cooked itself out. The gra over there, the gra in Simkuv Chav Gimel, quotes the Gemara Shabbos, that referring to the Gemara Shabbos, that when something reaches the shear of Yatzaledizba, that's already called cooking. If I take liquid on Shabbos and I bring it to a level Yatzaledizba, which according to Ramesha, it's between 110 degrees and 180 degrees, right? He's been suffix, so you always have to go to Chumra, depending on the Shaila, over there in Halacha Shabbos. But already between 110 degrees and 180 degrees would be considered Yatzaledizba. So as long as it got to that point, it's ready Yatzaledizba. When that's Rav Moshe in Arachayim, Chavdal, Simon Ayindal, Oiz Gimel, where he's discussing Halacha Shabbos, that's called Mevushel. Now, there seems to be a machlekes if it only got to Yatzaledizba, you brought it to Yatzaledizba, and it didn't reach the point where it's now where it came to Yatzaledizba, and it didn't reach the point where it's missing, where some evaporated from it. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about in Mechas Shlomo, he says that if it was mismayet, it got lessened, or the taste changed. And sometimes when you cook it, there's a change to the taste. So that's where it's a question in the Paiskim, where there was no mismayet, where nothing got lost from through the cooking, and the taste was not changed. So that's a question: is that called mevushel or not? Where's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is pasteurization, especially nowadays they have what's called flash pasteurization. Flash, in a flash they do it. What they do is, because they want to kill the bacteria or whatever it may be, so they have these pipes. I have a picture of it here. I think I do. They have these pipes. It's not such a clear picture, but these pipes that go around and around. You pass it around. And in these pipes, there's the wine going through, and they bring it to the heat of whatever temperature of over 110 degrees for a split second. But they're in these closed pipes so that it should not lose its taste. So the real mumchim will tell you, I could tell, right? I could tell if it's mevushel, not mevushel, but it's really very close. It's a close call. So that's what they're doing over here. They're doing it in a way that it's not really changing anything. So the question is that considered yayim mevushel or not? So when you see the label says yayim mevushel, it's mevushel according to Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe held that's enough. That was brought to that degree, that's enough to be considered mevushel. And then you'll see on Kedem, there's the Puparov and the Tzelmarov. They all held that that's considered mevushel. However, there are other paiskim that held that that's not called mevushel. So even when it says mevushel, it may be a machlekes, a paiskim, if it's considered mevushel. But let's go with Rav Moshe, we go with Rav Moshe. That's called mevushel. So when it says on the label yayim mevushel, that's yayim mevushel. Yayim mevushel has no din of yayin nesach, no din of stam yayin, and that will be no problem. Now in the process of making the wine, so you have first receiving the grapes, right? The winery receives the grapes. And that we said, a guy could bring the grapes, could transport the grapes from the vineyard to the place where it is. There's the de-stemming of it, removing the stems and all that. And then there's the processing the grapes itself, which is pressing. They press the grapes. They put it into these machines which press the grapes. I looked for pictures today, but I'm not so good at finding them, so I'm serious I can find them. But there's the pressing of the grapes, there's the fermenting the grapes, which we'll talk about more, aging the wine, There's the filtration of it, the pasteurization, like we mentioned, bottling it. So at what point already would it be a problem for a guy to be involved in this process? So like we mentioned before, once already they start the hamshacha process, which is that they're separating the juice, the wine, the liquid is being separated from the solid, then already that liquid already has a shame wine for the gezeira. This was one of the tumbles that came up recently in a few of the wine factories, that they had these Ethiopians working there. I'm not getting involved if they're Jewish or not Jewish, if they need geiris or only geiris the chumrah and all that. But there were many people held that they need geiris, medina. And it was discovered that in some of these wine factories, which one or two of these wine factories, which a lot of people do drink their wines, that the Ethiopians were working with the wine at later stages where you need to have a Jew working there. And for some reason they assumed that these, many of them do not have a geiris, and it became a big tumult to the fact that it went out to the media, and all of a sudden the media made a whole thing out of it, how people are being racist and this and etc. And it blew up. So that was one of the tumults that were recently. Now there's some interesting what's included. So you have wine, you have grape juice, there's wine vinegar. Now wine vinegar starts as wine and then it ferments. Now once it ferments, then there's no longer an issue. Once it ferments, there's no issue of stam yayin or yayin nesach. It's only in the wine stage. But we need to know that the wine that they used to make the wine vinegar is taka, was wine that wasn't a problem. That's where you need a heksha. That's where you need a heksha. You need a good heksha on wine vinegar, because a lot of times there could be a question from the wine that's being used. Similarly, when you have brandy. Or brandy also has the same thing, that even though now it's a more it's not wine, it's distilled and all that, which maybe we'll talk about the process of it a little more later, but brandy or jams, where there's a shinoi to it by the jams, but the same idea. What's the wine that they're making, the grape juice that they're using to make the jam out of? That's why you need a hechshane. Grape sodas, which are transformed into another item entirely. So again, sometimes it can be natural, sometimes not. There is a question of bittel. Sometimes you can have a mixture of something, and in that mixture they put some natural grape juice in it. So is there bittel or not? How is one mevatel the tam of yayin? How are you mevatel the tam of yayin? So it's before in the Gemara. This is going to be negated for our discussion later when we talk about sherry cask. But it says if you have six portions to one, meaning if there's six chalakim of something of another of water. Let's talk about water first, because other mashkins and machlekes. But you have six portions of water, equal portions of water to the amount of wine, so then the wine loses its status of wine. And right, if you have six parts water mixed together with one part wine, so then it loses its status of wine. Now, if it would be mixed with what? What
about Mariyan?
What is that?
When it looks like wine still.
It probably doesn't look like wine yet, still, but it's so watered down. But that won't make a difference. You're right, we're not learning Hilchos Mikvayos. Hilchos Mikvayos makes the difference if it looks like wine, but over here it does make a difference. It loses its status. Other mashkin is a machlekes. If I mix it with beer, or I mix it with other types of drinks. So then I may need right. Rav Moshe Paskins, like the Taz, that the same share that we said by water is also true by other mashkin. That just like by water we said 6 parts to 1, so too by other mashkin also 6 parts to 1 will be batel. There is a question, if I bought the wine from a guy, so then already, if there's bittul, if I need bittul b'shishim, but this is negated to your e-cigarettes. There's some of those liquids have in it some grape stuff, which could be a question if there's bittul or not. It could have other terim, the e-cigarettes, but we're not going to get into that now, especially Shabbos of Anyant, if you could smoke it. It's also a question, but in Paris, we don't have to discuss these things. Okay. So it's like this. Okay. There is actually a Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva brings down, and a lot of Chassidim, and even there are some Litvisha that are nagged like this, that if a guy looked at the wine, he didn't touch it, doesn't own the wine, didn't touch the wine, he just looked at the wine, so not to use it for a Dvar Mitzvah. That's why sometimes you'll see people that come to Simchis, they'll bring their own wine in a brown paper bag, because in case the guy is a waiter or whatever, look at it, they won't want to make kiddush on it, so they keep it covered that no one can see it. So, but it's a dark issue with the Munkacha. He brings it down in Simakuf Chav Gimel his base. But again, it's a minig based on a shla that some have, some don't have. Now, during the wine production, so usually nowadays we're not sitting there crushing the grapes, right? I remember when I was a bacha, this younger man told me he went picking grapes and he's making wine. So he told me how he made wine. He told me he brought home the grapes, put it in his bathtub, took his shoes and socks off, and jumped on there and crushed it. I did not eat there since then. I really was scared of that wine. So anyways, he crushed the grapes. But nowadays, I'm saying the factories, they're not doing it. They're not hiring their Arab guy to sit there dancing on your grapes. So it's a matter of pushing a button. It's pressing the button. You press the button to start the conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt brings the grapes to the crusher, and then they get crushed. And the question over here, it's an interesting question, because the guy is not actually crushing the grapes, he's not touching the wine, all that. But if you have a guy push the button, it's called kaichai. Is it called that he's crushing it and he's making the wine, all that? The ma'aseh d'hashkacha is a machmir that they do not allow it. They're machmir that there should be a frum person or a Jewish person pushing the button to start the whole process of making the wine. Again, like we said before, me'ikra din, it's dafka if the guy would touch the wine with his hands or he would drink from the bottle. But this is something which they're machmir on, now delivering the wine, so that already you need a chaysim tei chaysim, you need a double seal on it in order to have a guy deliver the wine. And that's what we have usually, a double seal on. There's the cover and then there's a seal on the cover for this halacha. So that's vinegar wine. Okay, that's vinegar wine. This is the basic steps in wine and what happens. Again, there are a lot of Hilchos Yayin Nesef is like on, is really long. It's like 20 simanim, and then when you finish the 20 simanim, it starts Hilchos Klei Hayayin, which is buying the barrels and all the different things that they use for their wine. It's a nut to it. It goes on and on. But it's interesting when you see how the whole wine process used to be. Nowadays, like I said, it's just a matter of a few buttons and watching the process. Yeah.
Is Hechscher nowadays mainly looking out for Yain Esef in wine factories?
In a wine factory, yeah. And that's so be Trumas and Maestris. And there's so it's Trumas and Maestris. But again, I told you very basically. I'll be honest with you, I'm not holding in the sugya right now. I do remember that when I was holding in the sugya, there's a lot more pratim to it. I'm just telling you very basic of what goes on and where and what the issues are. But the important is that the Mashiach that's on site should know what a grape looks like, and should know what wine is, and should know the different steps that are happening to know to look out where the grapes are playing a role in the factory. Okay? Because there are some Mashiach that go there and they personally don't know what a grape is. Okay. I heard this from a Choshev, a Dayan who has a Hechsher. So I'm just repeating what he told me about. He saw other people. Okay. So let's move on to whiskey. So in whiskey, you have scotch, you have bourbon, you have different categories and types. So again, I'm telling it to you in a Bekitzer way, just to get an idea of where the shaylas are and what the shaylas, how the shaylas come about. But you can look into it, you'll see more information. In a basic way, so scotch is, there's a few steps to it. Is there anyone here who's into the making of whiskey and all that? No? Help me out. Okay, so there's a few steps here. You need to start off with a glucose, with a sugar, and there's different ways of getting it. So one way is through grains, such as wheat, barley, rye, corn, potato, rice, because they all contain starches, which have in them glucose molecules. Now, this malted barley, or commercially produced enzymes, which are used to break down the starch into simple glucose molecules. But I'm talking simply, this step number one is, which many times they use, is malted barley, and is soaked in water. It's soaked in water, and then it ferments, and then it's dried through a complex drying process. Now the dried malt is ground and then mixed into hot water. That's step number two. They take this dried malt and they grind it and mix it in hot water. Now the mixture is distilled by heating the mixture to 173.2 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the third step. The fourth step is that water is then added to the mixture before it's placed into oak barrels, which we refer to as casks. These oak barrels are casks, and over there it matures. Then they add sometimes coloring agents, and the maturing is done for multiple years. Sometimes it's done for multiple years in one cask, and sometimes they transfer from one cask to another cask. Now, according to the FDA regulations, scotch must be comprised of strictly malt and wheat grain. Therefore, at this point, it should be kosher, because working with the regulations, which, assuming that they keep it, which that's our assumption, we're Rav Moshe has a tshuva that you can rely on the FDA regulations, and we can assume that it's kosher, which is a interesting tshuva Rav Moshe, which has to do maybe with a little bit yesterday, but so at this point it should be kosher because it's strictly malt and wheat grain, and the coloring agents are always kosher. Now, maturing the scotch in the cask is what could be a problem. That's where the problem could come from. When we leave it there to mature in the cask, that's where the problem begins. So there's something called a single malt, which is a single, which is where the malt scotch whiskey, right, is exclusive of malt grain. They're only using malt grain. But then you have blended whiskey. Blended whiskey is produced from both malt and grain alcohol that are blended together. Sometimes, often, it's 40 to 50% are blended together. So it's a mixture of two. That's the difference between single and blended whiskey. Now, let's get back to the cask. Often, the cask is not a new one. Rather, it's an old one. And the reason for why do they use old casks? Why don't they just use a new one? The reason why they use a new one is this is what's referred to as sherry cask, right? So often the cask is not a new one, rather it's one that was used already, and it was used for wine, to create wine. They dafka take one which was used to create wine. Which means that this wine absorbed in the oak absorbs, right? So in the oak cask, in the oak barrel, it has in it absorbed wine, because they created wine in it. And that wine, goes back to what we discussed before, is stam yayin. So you have stam yayin absorbed into the walls of this sherry cask. Now, why do they use these wine casks? So first of all, it's cheaper. And second of all, a new one has a strong wood taste. And you don't want that taste in your whiskey. You don't want that taste in the whiskey. So Rav Moshe, this is where Rav Moshe comes in here. They're Chedek Alf Sim Samach Beis, where he's donning up this nidin over here of these sherry casks. And the question is, if that wine that's absorbed in the walls, is it lefgam? Maybe it's pigam, right? If it's nice and tam lefgam, if it's giving off a stale taste, I mean, the wine maybe ruins the whiskey. Wine and whiskey mixed together, is that a good taste or not a good taste? And the question also is, that maybe the amount of wine that's coming out of the walls of the cask, maybe it's bottle in the whiskey. And these are svaras that are said by Rav Moshe and other paiskim to be matter, that there's a bittle, there's such a small amount. It's for sure 6 to 1. And like we said before, Rav Moshe passes like the Taz, that even by Shar Mashkim. Another svar that's said by some Paiskim is that wine with whiskey is the fgam. The two don't they don't really go together. But the problem is that in our day and age that we live in, Farkert, sherry is more desired. People want sherry. They want higher levels of sherry. More. Why? Because the impact of the two is more desirable. The flavor that goes into the scotch. So now, we don't really have the svar of pigam. What are we left with? Just the svar of bittle. Question is there bittle? And the... So these are the svaras that are thrown around. There's another also a nidin that the Magen Avraham in Tafnun Aleph and Hilchos Pesach Sifkat Mem says that whiskey, which is charif, which is sharp, may not even fall into the din of pigam, even if it's pigam, but the tam of the whiskey overrides whatever pigam the wine would do to the whiskey. So maybe we don't say noisy tam the pigam over there. The Nidibud says he disagrees with the Magen Avraham. The Mechasitzvik has a tshuva where he's machmir because of this. Says that since the whole tachlis over here is the kavana, you want that the whiskey should absorb from the taste of the wine that's in the barrels, so then there should be a problem over here. Rav Shlomo Miller from Toronto, he says it doesn't make a difference. Once Shulchan Aruch tells us that the time of Yayin is Pagim, once the time of Yayin is Pagim, the time of Yayin Sraf of whiskey, it plays no relevance to us what people say, that they like it, they rather it, it's more desirable. That doesn't make a difference to us, and therefore he's matrit. He's matrit. That's pigam, and that's it. Now, the problem with that is the ones that are chaylik on that svara is, again, I'm just telling you Rashi prakim so you should understand what the sugya is going on over here. So when you drink it, either you can appreciate it more or feel more guilty, whichever you want to feel. So the chokim say that no, our barrels are different than the barrels back then. There was something called a Cheres Hadriani in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Shulchan Aruch talks about it, where Taka they would absorb it with good tasting, and but there is such idea. There is such idea of exception to the rule that, you know, as Rav Shlomo Miller is saying, that the rule is that Yain is Paigim, Yain Sraf is Paigim whiskey. But we do find an exception to it. So perhaps our barrels are like that, like the exception. So the svara really that we remain with is the bittel svara. That's the bottom line. We have to come on to bittel. And like we said before, bittel is 6-1. And according to Taz, it's even with other mashkin. And say, what time is that? Okay. It's even with other mashkin. So it comes along Rav Moshe, the Chaznish, the Chochmas Adam, the Pri Chadash, and they all passing like the Taz. So you have Rav Moshe, Chaznish, Chochmas Adam, Pri Chadash, who all passing like the Taz. So if you have a ratio of 6-1, so it should be mutter. The question is, how do you measure that? How do you measure the ratio over here of 6-1? The barrels could be soaked with wine. So that's also machlekes taz and shach. How to measure it.
And this bittel is even lechatchila.
It's even lechatchila, but let's say it's not lechatchila, but it's being done by the goyim. I'm not doing it. The goyim are doing it. I'm buying it ready afterwards. Now, the how you measure it is also, I'm not going to get into now, how you measure it is also machlekes how to measure it. Because this kvish over here, it's being soaked with it. But this is where Rav Moshe came out with his kula. So Rav Moshe's kula is based on that once you have a ratio of 6-1, and he assumed that you always have that ratio in the sherry cask whiskey, therefore, there's an automatic bittel over here. And once, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use the word bittel. It loses its shame, yayin, that's the lumdus. It loses shame yayin. So even though there's yayin in your yayin straf, and it's not poigim, but it lost the shame yayin. It lost the shame yayin. So that's the discussion over here. Again, like we pointed out, there are those that do not pass in like this taz, and that's why they're upset about this psak. And there are those that measure the 6-1 proportion differently, and they come out that there could be a problem with certain sherry casks, and that's why if you look at the list that the CRC has, and some other Hekshir have, the CRC has a very detailed list of the different liquors, which ones are a problem, which ones are not. So some sherry is, some sherry not, because they're trying to measure this ratio, and they're claiming that certain ones have more than the 6-to-1, which pashtus or maish will be matter even in those cases. That's the pashtus. A maish will be matter, but others are machmer on that. Bourbon should never be a problem, and never be a problem of being non-kosher either. Because over there, by bourbon, there's no issue of sherry cask. And the only issue that there could be is if it's left over Pesach and wasn't sold properly over Pesach, so it could be chamisha oval of a Pesach. Vodka, unflavored vodka, I don't want to get into how they make vodka right now because it's too late, but unflavored vodka, it should be kosher. Bederach klal should be kosher. They use water with but flavored has to have echsha. Flavored vodka has to have echsha. Beer is a separate discussion. The process of beer is also interesting, a separate discussion. Lina, the tomorrow I will speak, and especially for those that are up here in Marach Siv, and we don't know how much longer we're going to be in Marach Siv. So shopping over here is a little more complicated than in Yerushalayim. So, and the different types of hechsherim and products that there is over here, it's easier to come back with the wrong hechsher, and then you're stuck with the product because you can't even get there to return it. So Blina, tomorrow I will speak more about the general idea of why kashrus is more confusing here in Eretz Yisrael, and also about, in general, a general idea of what kashrus organizations are trying to, what's the service that they're servicing us. I don't know if we'll get into the lamdas we mentioned yesterday. Could be we will. Maybe I'll start off with the lamdas a little more and go into the practical part. So I think it's very practical for everyone to spread the word around to even those that are not here or are here, that it'll be more of a practical share for when you're going shopping. Hey, everyone should have a wonderful...